Now, Bob grew up with his mom and dad teaching him the Bible, teaching him about Jesus, giving him confidence, giving him courage to work for Jesus. But Bob had a problem. Bob stuttered. And he never grew out of this stuttering. He grew up. He joined a church. Well, this church decided that they wanted to make a group and go out into the community, something like we do, Bible studies that we do, small groups. They decided that they wanted to have call porters and sell books to the people in the community. So they got a group of 10 men. Well, Bob says, you know, he thinks to himself, I think I can do this. I want to sell books. Well, he goes to the first meeting with the deacons. And he says, I'd like to sell books. No, he said, I'd like to sell some books for Jesus. And I don't know what the elders here would have thought about that, but they put him off 1 week. They weren't sure about this, a stuttering man selling books. So they said, we've got enough. Maybe try next time. So Bob was determined. He wasn't going to let this dejection keep him from doing something for Jesus. So the next time he went, he asked again. And you know what a squeaky wheel does when you fix it or something? It gets, I don't know what that quote is. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, he bugged him and bugged him. Finally, they said, okay, he's not going to stop asking. So we're going to give him a satchel, put some books in it, give him some of the children's books and the Desire of Ages and the Steps to Christ and all the books that tell about Jesus. We're going to get Jesus in the community again and in the homes. Well, they gave him a little bit of what you're supposed to do and all that, and they gave him the satchel, and they took him to the area that he had to solicit, and they let him go. Well, that night when they picked up Bob and they counted everything, he had sold everything. Everything! Well, that puzzled them. Maybe it was beginner's luck. I don't believe in luck, but maybe it was beginner's something. So they put it off for a little bit and they let him go the next time. And the next time he had sold everything. He was top seller and they couldn't understand. They couldn't put it together. They couldn't figure out what he was doing. Then they finally sat down with him and said, now, Bob, you've got to give us some tips. You're better than our best call porter here. What are you doing? I'm doing everything you told me to do. Well, tell me every step you take. Well, I go to the door, and I knock, and then somebody comes to the door, and I show them the book and say that this book is about Jesus and how much he loves them. And then I ask them if they want me to read it or buy it. But they had to tweak his approach a little bit, but he did. He was selling the books. He was getting those books into the homes with the Lord. And he threw his hand.
Somebody bought that speech from him, too. Who was that?
Moses. And God sent Aaron to help him out. God will help you if you want to witness for the Lord. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for the tools that we have to spread your word and give us a yearning to go out there and finish the work that you've started. Thank you for loving us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of his mother. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noticed first that came the date of her birth and spoke the following dates with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth, and now only those who love her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way that other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when the eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? There's Tom. Tom's going to be playing for me. This is a song requested by my father. I'm trying to get it recorded. He loves this song. It's Daddy's Hands. I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer. Can we start over again?
Yeah.
Thank you. I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer and reaching out to hold me when I had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in the calluses and lines. Years of work and worry had left their mark behind. I remember Daddy's hands held my mama tight and patted my back for something done right. If I could do things over, I'd live my life again. But I'd never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands working till they bled, sacrificed unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over, I'd live my life again. But I'd never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands, soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there is always love in Daddy's.